Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name is Gary Parish. I'm talking to you from 54th and Broadway, Midtown Manhattan, New York City. Mr. Big Chest Brad Carson back in studio in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruption.
Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and Wendy's. Daddy lost most everything.
And I hope you didn't give up on the Grizzlies when they went down by 16 in the first quarter last night against Portland inside FedEx Forum, because if so, shame on you. Super Mike Conley saved the day. 19 points in the fourth. Career high 40. Fun game. Awesome performance. We'll get into it momentarily. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Joe Monex is the site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Hosted Grizzly Bear Blues Live. One of the best there is at talking and writing about the Grizzlies. He's going to join me around 420 to talk about the Grizzlies. When I finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the streak is over. Oklahoma ran Kansas off the court last night. Dealt KU at 6, Big 12 loss. And because Texas Tech and Kansas State only have 4, with just one regular season game remaining, that is that. Either Texas Tech or Kansas State or both will be Big 12 champs this season. Kansas will not, so the streak is snapped at 14 years. I'll tell you why around 444. Tennessee overwhelmed Mississippi State last night. Beat the Bulldogs 71-54. Improved to 27-3 overall. 15-2 in the SEC, now a win at Auburn. This weekend, going to ensure at least a share of a second straight SEC title. Could ensure the outright title, depending on what happens with LSU tonight at Florida. Get you caught up on the top of the SEC a little later on this hour. Missed opportunity for Ole Miss last night. Morgan Freeman was courtside. John Calipari's sixth-ranked Kentucky Wildcats were inside the pavilion. Rebels led at the half, led with less than 13 minutes remaining. We're in a one-possession game in the final minute, but lost 80-76. Good fight. Tough result for the home team. Tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And we got another Zion Williamson update after Duke barely beat Wake Forest last night. When will we see the next number one pick in the NBA draft on a college basketball court again? I'll tell you what Coach K said during four notable stories at 444. We're going to talk nothing but college basketball during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calk is just like always. 5:30, I'll get you updated on some Tiger basketball schedule news. And then we'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the Memphis Grizzlies. Wild game last night. Blazers were in town. They're tied for third in the West, led by four-time NBA All-Star Damian Lillard. So they were six-point favorites at tip-off. And when they jumped to a 16-point lead in the first quarter, there was no reason to think this was going to be a fun night inside FedEx Forum. The Grizz were 25-40, so they're on their way to 25-41, but they cut that 16-point deficit to just 2 points at the half. They were down 4 points heading into the fourth quarter. Then they fall behind by 9 points with less than 8 minutes to play, and then Mike Conley really got going. And what happened next was historic, a night the fans who were actually there, I think, we'll remember for a while. Michael Alex Conley Jr. got 19 points in the final, 7:48, leads the Grizzlies to a 120-111 win over the Portland Blazers. Just an incredible late-game performance that resulted in a career-high 40 points. So that's a career-high 40 points in Mike's 12th NBA season. And keep in mind, this is the same Mike Conley who didn't score a single point in the first quarter. But then he goes 6 of 7 from the field, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc in the fourth. Even got a 4-point play, fell to the ground, did like a Michael Phelps breaststroke thing through the lane. Finished 12 of 18 from the field in the game, 6 of 7 from 3-point range in the game. Again, a career-high 40 points.
40 points at the age of 31. Portland coach Terry Stotts, he was asked about it after the game, about the game in general. Here's what he said. He said, quote, "We had a 16-point lead." That was true, by the way. "And they just kept playing and defending. And Mike Conley was outstanding. He had his shot going, was directing the offense, and he got into us defensively," end quote. So now, after the 40-point performance last night, and I saw this in Chris Harrington's story, DailyMemphian.com, Mike's just 167 points from becoming the franchise's all-time leading scorer. Just 167 points. And if he scores his average of 20.1 points and doesn't miss any games, and obviously neither of those things are guaranteed, but just play along. If he scores his average of 20.1 points and doesn't miss any games, he will become the franchise's all-time leading scorer on March 27th inside FedEx Forum, early in a game against the Golden State Warriors. Mm. So that's something to look forward to. Could be a fun night, just like last night was a fun night in a season with, long as we're speaking honestly, too few of them. Shouts to Mike Conley. He made memories on a Tuesday night. As for the bigger picture, the win moved the Grizzlies to 26-40. So now they're 3-2 in their past five games. They're now tied with the Wizards in the win column, one game back of the Mavericks in the win column. So essentially tied for sixth from the bottom, and finishing eighth from the bottom seems very much in play. Now, if you haven't been following the race to convey, you know, these numbers might not mean anything to you, but if you're actually trying to convey the pick, getting to ninth is the best place you can get, but it might be out of reach. And I, when I say ninth, I mean ninth from the bottom. You got to look at these things inversely now. It's the season we're enduring.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to eighth, though, does seem very, very possible because, again, they have the sixth. They're sixth from the bottom right now. And they are tied with the Wizards in the win column. Wizards are seventh from the bottom. And they're one game back of the Mavericks in the win column. Mavericks are eighth from the bottom. So eighth is attainable. And eighth from the bottom would give the Grizzlies about a 40% chance to convey their pick to Boston and just be done with that terrible transaction. Eighth from the bottom would also give them a 6% chance at Zion Williamson. And so the way the math works is the best thing that could happen in this lottery is for Memphis to get the number one pick. Pick Zion Williamson. That'd be amazing. Changes your franchise overnight. Right now at sixth in at sixth from the bottom, you have a 9% chance of getting the number one pick and just a less than 4% chance of actually conveying the pick. More likely you're going to pick somewhere in the top eight, closer to eight than one. But if you get to eighth from the bottom, your chances of getting Zion Williamson don't really decrease that much. You go from a 9% chance to a 6% chance to get the number one pick in the draft. But what changes drastically is your opportunity to actually convey the pick to Boston. Because then, even though your odds of getting Zion, it only drops from 9% to 6%, the chances of you conveying the pick to Boston go from roughly 4% to roughly 40%. They increase drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only bad thing that could happen would be that you actually end up picking eighth, because the pick is protected 1 through 8. And you'd have about a 34.5% chance to actually pick eighth if you finish eighth from the bottom. And that's the nightmare. Mm-hmm. You'd rather anything happen than that. And that's less likely to happen if you're sixth from the bottom, but you almost have no chance of conveying the pick sixth from the bottom. But eighth from the bottom, again, about a 40% chance to convey the pick and still about a 6% chance to get Zion Williamson. So this is perhaps not the best math
right.
For sports talk radio, but it really is. It really is the future of the franchise is rooted in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to keep track, important to really follow it game by game, even if following it or wishing one thing or another has no impact on what will actually happen. The best place they could get is ninth from the bottom, but ninth is going to be difficult because that the Pelicans and Magic both sitting at 30 and 36 records. So the Grizzlies are four games back in the loss column to get to ninth from the bottom.
Mm.
And, you know, there's only 16 games for the Grizzlies left to play. And it's just very difficult to make up that kind of ground. Even if the teams you're chasing are terrible and you're playing better, hard to make up four games with just 16 left. It's a little bit like the Lakers trying to make up what they got to make up to get to eighth to make the Western Conference playoffs. Like, it is possible, but it's improbable. Bottom line, either way, the race to convey last night was a good night. Mike Conley was awesome. I mean, just absolutely awesome and good for him. FedEx Forum was fun. And those two sentences, Mike Conley was awesome and FedEx Forum was fun, those are two sentences that we haven't been able to say as often as we would like lately. So if nothing else, it was nice to say them last night. Nice to repeat them again here today. What Joe Mullinex think about what he saw last night? I'll talk to him about it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I love. This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the f*** you expect when it got a cape and he's great?
It became official last night. Kansas will not win a 15th consecutive Big 12 title. They lost at Oklahoma. That's six league losses, considering Texas Tech, Kansas State only got four each with one game left. Now, the math don't work. Kansas' streak is over. We'll get into that in the next segment. Plus, Tennessee beat Mississippi State. Kentucky beat Ole Miss. We're talking college basketball in the next segment. Then Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he's site manager of SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Host of Grizzly Bear Blues. It's live. It's on a Block Talk Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. It's Joe Mullinex making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Joe, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
It's a lot nicer to do these after wins. I got to be honest with you. I feel like I'm on a good little vibe here. 2 weeks in a row, it's after victories that I get a chance to talk to you. And the one over Portland felt especially nice because the Lakers are kind of imploding. The Trailblazers are not. They're a good little basketball team with two pretty solid backcourt players, and Mike Conley was the best guard on the floor. So it was a really good night to follow the Memphis Grizzlies.
It's a miserable season, but last night was a fun night. Almost like if you're having a bad year, but like this one Saturday night in the middle of a bad year, it was like, you know what, you were around your friends and you were all laughing a lot, and it just sort of felt like old times, even if you got to get back to your crappy life tomorrow. That's what last night was inside FedEx Forum. Not only did they win, but you get a career night from Mike Conley, career-high 40 points, gets 19 in the final 8 minutes. You could see it from the expressions on the players' faces to the faces throughout the crowd. I was in a group text with some friends. One of my buddies was there. He's the type of guy that goes to every game he can go to, even though he walks out of there mad most nights lately. And he was like, that was awesome. That was a lot of fun. It was just a good night inside the building downtown.
It's a good reminder that it's supposed to be fun, right?
Right.
It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be something that you enjoy. That's the whole point of fandom. And I wrote about that today over at Grizzly Bear Blues. The idea, it was a reminder that, you know, we talk about to convey or not convey, and we get in arguments on Twitter about if Avery Bradley's good or not. And there's so many things, you know, people for the past year and a half have not had a ton to be excited about regarding this team in the future. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. being one of the outliers. To that, the exception to the rule, but it was a night where you could be excited about the on-court product, and it's also verification and confirmation that it's not just one night. You know, the Grizzlies have been a lot more competitive. It hasn't necessarily turned into numerous wins, but they've been competitive. They've only been blown out once in the past couple of weeks or past few weeks, and I understand that's a low bar to clear, but at the same time, after watching this team play before the trade deadline and the uncertainty that came with it, and the lack of energy at times that came with it, it really has been pretty impressive to see them kind of gel in such a quick way. And to see them kind of rally behind this idea, again, it's really hard to establish identity and culture in 3 weeks. But I do think that everybody is looking at each other on this roster and in this organization saying, we have an obtainable goal. We have something that has been stated by the organization as the goal. We can either achieve it or not. It's one of those rare times, like we've talked about, where, yeah, you're not going to make the playoffs, but at the same time, you still can make something of this season if you're able to convey that pick and clear the ledger in terms of your draft obligations. And it's something that the players can look to and say, okay, this is something we're trying to achieve as a unit, in addition to all of their personal reasons that I've written about at the blog and other people have talked about, you know, whether it's player options, the team option, essentially, that is Avery Bradley's contract, the restricted free agency of DeLon Wright, whether Mike Conley gets traded or not. All of these guys, to varying degrees, have something at stake going into this, which makes it nice for them to be able to continue to compete and not have to feel like they're tanking because the organization has a larger goal at stake as well.
I'm talking to Joe Mullinax. He is the site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearsBlues.com, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. You can listen to that on Blog Talk Radio. So you mentioned trying to convey the pick. Obviously, that is a priority. It's a stated priority. They're sixth from the bottom right now. Seems pretty clear to everybody that the ideal place to get, if conveying the pick is the number one priority, is ninth from the bottom. And it looks like they can get to seventh because they are tied in the win column with the Wizards right now. Eighth from the bottom seems attainable because they're one game back of the Mavericks in the win column right now. They're four games back of the Pelicans and Magic in the win column right now. Only 16 games left remaining. Is it realistic to try to get to ninth? Is that even an attainable goal, or is seventh or eighth about the best you can do?
I think eighth is probably the most realistic, or seventh, obviously, as you mentioned, with the Wizards. And the nice thing about Dallas and Washington is you have games left with them. I think Orlando, even, you have a game or two left with them as well. So you have head-to-head matchups coming up with two or three of those teams that you're trying to pass. The Wizards will be in D.C., or they'll be playing the Wizards in D.C. in a couple of weeks, or next week, actually. And they have Dallas, I think, the last week of the season. They play them twice. So you're looking at opportunity to pass them directly in head-to-head competition. Again, I think they play Orlando as well. So it's definitely more realistic to me than not conveying it. To me, I struggle with the idea of tanking. You know, you're four wins behind Atlanta for that, or maybe three losses is a better way to look at that one. You're seven losses behind Chicago. Where I have an issue, Gary, is where people talk about wanting to try to improve their odds of getting Zion Williamson, and that's all well and good, but if they were to, say, move up to fourth, which, again, they're seven losses behind Chicago right now, so that seems pretty unlikely to me. But if you were to try to get to fourth, and I'm looking at Tankathon as we speak, you have a 3.5% better chance at four overall than you do six overall to land the pick, the number one overall selection. Is that really worth it? Is that worth the next 3 weeks being absolutely miserable and not having the opportunity to compete? Is that worth trying to get these guys in a position to actively lose when so many people on that floor, whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's the players, they're playing for their jobs. They're playing and coaching for their careers. So it lends itself to an opportunity to actually compete, even though you're a team that's not trying to compete. So even in the nonsense that has become this season because of the convey or not convey, and the desire to compete so you don't have a first-round draft pick, as counterproductive as that feels in the moment, you're looking at a reality where it's much more likely to me that you're going to get to eighth. And I know Chris Harrington has talked about eighth being a sweet spot because that gives you a 6% chance of getting the number one overall pick. Plus, it's likely that somebody jumps in front of you or there's some maneuvering that maybe knocks you out of eight anyway, then you still convey the pick. Or even a ninth. To me, it just seems much more likely, especially the way they're playing. They're not playing bad basketball. They're playing good basketball. They've lost to some teams that are either struggling or are, you know, tanking themselves. It looks like Dallas might be trying to tank. There's reason to be optimistic that they can get to at least eighth. Ninth might be a stretch. You need Orlando to kind of cool off a little bit. Same thing with New Orleans. New Orleans is trying to win just for the sake of winning. In terms of maybe trying to spite Anthony Davis, showing that they can do it without him if he's not going to play his full slate of minutes, I think they can get to seven or eight. I think that's definitely realistic, especially because they have games against Washington and Dallas coming up.
I know you know this, but just for the listeners, let me put some numbers on it. If they do try to catch Atlanta or Chicago by going the wrong way, like you said, they would only, let's just say they get the fourth worst lottery odds. I mean, the fourth best lottery odds. So finish with the fourth worst record. They would only increase their odds, as you point out, from to get Zion Williamson. They only go from a 9% chance up to a 12.5% chance. That's minuscule. What they do by going there is eliminate the possibility of conveying the pick. And if they only get the fifth worst record and therefore the fifth best lottery odds, you go up from 9% to 10.5% to get Zion Williamson, but you have less than a 1% chance of conveying the pick. Whereas if you aim the other direction, which is up, toward the proper standings, if you can get to eighth, your odds of getting Zion Williamson drop from a 9% chance to a 6% chance, not really a big deal, but it gives you then about a 40% chance to actually convey the pick. So it would break down a 6% chance to get the first pick, 6.3% chance to get the second pick, 6.7% chance to get the third pick, 7.2% chance to get the fourth pick, 34.5% chance you're picking eighth. That's a nightmare. And then about a 40% chance that you're going to move the pick to Boston. So I still think getting to eighth is probably the where you want to be, because you still got, you know, a roll of the dice on Zion Williamson, but you got a 40% chance of actually moving off that pick and just being done with this. If you can aim for eighth, the eighth best lottery odds, I think that's where you want to be.
That makes total sense to me. I'm almost in the realm where I just want to be done with it completely, and I'd be okay if they somehow got the 9th, 10th, even 11th or something like that if they really got hot. But I hear the argument for 8th because, again, Zion Williamson, I don't want to make it sound like I'm completely pooping on this draft, because Zion Williamson is a freak. He is a physical specimen. I think he's a franchise changer. You know, whether it's New York, Phoenix, Cleveland, you know, Chicago maybe has an outside shot. One of those four teams is most likely to get Zion, and he's going to help them for a decade plus to come. And in theory, if he goes to a place like New York or Chicago, the big markets and all that stuff, maybe he spends his career there. That's not necessarily always going to be the case with the Grizzlies. And for them, say they do land at fourth overall. Yay, you're at the fourth pick. And you, obviously, Gary, are far more experienced than this. You know, I don't get sized for a Jarrett Culver. You know, I'm not super excited to see Cam Reddish. And there's people on Twitter and on the blog that will say, hey, this guy can do this, and he's got this wingspan. And they're trying to talk themselves into this. I don't want to have to be talked into it. You know, I knew Jaren Jackson Jr. was going to be good. My frustration with Jaren Jackson Jr. was I didn't think he'd be good as he is right away. I knew he'd be a project and he'd be good down the road. I didn't have to be talked into him as a player. I had to be talked to him as a contributor immediately. I'd have to be talked into Jarrett Culver, period. And maybe part of that is my ignorance on the draft picks, and I haven't gotten to the point in the season where I start looking at the draft heavily just yet. So you can obviously, as we go through, Gary, educate me on some of those types of guys as well. But even a DeAndre Hunter, like, I watch a lot of ACC basketball. I'm a UVA basketball fan. I think DeAndre Hunter's going to be a good pro. But if DeAndre Hunter was in the 2020 or 2021 NBA draft class as it's projected right now, is DeAndre Hunter the sixth or seventh pick in those drafts? Probably not. And that's where I'm at. I would rather have, if the Grizzlies are going to be bad for a sustained period of time, I would rather have a chance to pick fourth, fifth, or sixth in those drafts, where you might have a shot at a second or third Zion Williamson-esque player, and it's not so top-heavy.
I'm talking to Joe Mullinex from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He's on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. Let me ask you this, and it might just be a very simple no from you, but I was in studio last night with a couple of former NBA players, and I work with several former NBA players, and we were talking about the draft last night and the lottery last night, and one of them said, you know, they're going to, because I was talking about, like, you know, the Grizzlies don't have a good chance, but, like, you know, you never know. It's a lottery. And one of them looked at me and was like, what do you mean it's a lottery? And I was like, it's a lottery. He's like, that thing's rigged. I was like, what do you mean it's rigged? And he said, that thing's rigged. They're not letting Zion Williamson go to Memphis. Are you crazy? And then so I, like, look at the other former NBA player and I'm like, do you believe him? And he was like, man, that thing's rigged. They're not letting Zion Williamson go to the Grizzlies. And I was like, you guys really believe, like, you guys spent years in the NBA. You really believe the lottery's rigged? 100% believe the lottery's rigged. My point has always been, it ain't worth it to the NBA, the damage that would be done to their brand and the integrity of the league, to rig something like that. Because it just then nobody thinks the games are real. Nobody thinks the sport is real. It becomes like wrestling. So I've always just said it ain't worth it. I understand why the NBA would prefer Zion in New York as opposed to Zion in Memphis, but it's not worth enough to be rigging the lottery that really does shape franchises. But I swear to you, I'm sitting there with two former NBA players. Both of them are smart guys, and they were both like, the lottery's rigged. They were like almost rolling their eyes at me. Like, oh, that's cute. You think Memphis has really got a chance to get Zion Williamson? Maybe. They will never let that happen. Do you think the lottery's actually rigged, and we get all worked up about nothing?
I don't know. I mean, again, like you said, if you're that experienced and you're that involved, you'd think that intelligent people, if they truly believe that, then maybe it has legs. But I'm looking back at past lottery results. I mean, Cleveland, New Orleans, Cleveland again on multiple occasions. I don't see it. And then it's also assuming that every year the first overall pick is going to be a stud, like a Greg Oden. In theory, if it was rigged every year, then, you know, it wouldn't have been Portland. It would have been somebody else, and it would have been an opportunity for Kevin Durant to go one overall in 2007. Or think about James Harden, you know, Steph Curry, guys like that. Blake Griffin goes to the Clippers, but the Grizzlies pick second in 2009. So it's one of those things that it's also assuming that order doesn't necessarily matter, and there's not stars beyond one overall. So I'm a quick answer would be no, but at the same time, like you said, they obviously have vastly more experience in the NBA than me, and in those circles, it would make sense to an extent. And obviously, you know, the Knicks. With Patrick Ewing, that's one that always was rumored and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. I'm looking at this and I lean towards it not being rigged. But at the same time, you know, it's definitely not like the earth is flat from Kyrie or something like that. It seems like something that has a little bit more legs among NBA players and some personnel than maybe you'd realize. I'm saying no, but it does make for interesting conversation.
If they were going to argue, or somebody was going to argue, that it was rigged in the mid-'80s to get Patrick Ewing to New York, back when the process was so less sophisticated, like they really were just reaching into a tub and grabbing an envelope. And the old story is that they had one envelope that was frozen, that had been placed in a freezer. And so you could reach in there, find the cold envelope, and then pick it up. And, oh, it's the New York Knicks. Congratulations. If you want to make that conspiracy theory, I'll listen to that one, but there's so many eyeballs on this stuff now. I don't think you could get away with rigging the lottery. But it was interesting to me that they were like, they thought I was being as naive as I could be by thinking anybody other than wherever the NBA wants Zion to be has a chance of getting the number one pick. Yeah, let's wrap up here. Last thing before I let you go, and this is not Grizzlies related, but you follow the NBA as closely as anybody. I want to hear your thoughts. The Lakers lost again the other night. They're playing tonight. They got Denver in LA. They're about a 6-point underdog. So they, barring a surprise, will drop to 30-35 and be even further removed from the playoffs. I think everybody, even LeBron, now concedes it ain't happening. But are you surprised by what happened in LA? And do you see a way out for the Lakers with LeBron James? And I don't mean, can they come back and, you know, be the sixth seed next year? Because, like, if LeBron's healthy, they probably can. But I'm somebody who could imagine in July 2018 how LeBron could win championships with the Lakers, or at least one. I'm finding it more and more difficult to envision that. Where are you on that?
Oh, I agree with that completely. And I think that one of the reasons why is you look at the Lakers and LeBron. I guess I underestimated at the time just how into his business ventures, you know, whether it's the shop and his production company or Space Jam 2, or, you know, he's producing a show on CBS, I think it is, Million Dollar Mile or something like that. I didn't realize how involved he would be with all of that stuff in season. Like, to see him popping up in all these different places, that takes time. And as someone who wears many hats yourself, Gary, and I'm in a similar boat on a smaller scale, there's only a finite amount of time in the day. And there's only a certain amount, and that's something that we all deal with. We all compete with the clock. And it takes your interest away, and it takes your attention away from other things. we're all human beings. LeBron James is one of the greatest athletes in the history of sport. But at the end of the day, he is still a human being. And I think it is impacting him in terms of his leadership of those young guys. Obviously, his pursuit of Anthony Davis has completely alienated that young core. I don't see how all of those guys come back next year. They're going to have to make a trade just for the sake of chemistry. And if you're going to go all in with LeBron James, an aging great, one of the greatest players of all time, arguably the best, but he's aging. And if you're going to go all in and you're going to try to get an Anthony Davis or in free agency, maybe you bring in a Jimmy Butler, a Klay Thompson. If you strike out in free agency, I've seen people talk about, and I agree, Mike Conley alongside LeBron in L.A., depending on the return, would make sense for the Lakers. I think Conley would help LeBron as a plan B or C. But at the same time, it's not a lock anymore that these guys are going to flock to LeBron because, again, NBA teams are seeing that Brandon Ingram can play and Kyle Kuzma can play and Lonzo Ball can play, but are they game-changing, franchise-altering talents? I'm not sure. And if you're going to give up a player the caliber of Anthony Davis, if you're going to give up a player the caliber of these types of guys that are top 5 or 10 NBA players, you want to make sure the return is right. And I'm not sold on trades being the way for them to acquire that level of talent. So they better hope and pray that LeBron's not too busy filming or producing or being an A&R on a rap album to be a part of the free agency recruiting process. Because if they strike out on free agents and their biggest acquisition in the offseason is a trade for a Mike Conley or something like that, then they're going to be in a tough spot. And I don't mean that as an insult to Mike Conley. I think he's a very, very, very good basketball player. But LeBron James didn't go to the Lakers to bring in a guy who's never made an All-Star team. It's supposed to be a collection of stars around him, and right now it just looks like a bunch of people that are lost.
That is Joe Mullinax, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's one of the best talking about and writing about the Grizzlies. He's with me every Wednesday in the first hour. Thanks for being here, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, GP.
Take care. That is Joe Mullinax, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. When we come back, Kansas' streak of 14 consecutive Big 12 regular season titles. It was snapped last night when they lost in Norman, Oklahoma to the Sooners. Got blown out. They were down big early, never recovered. So now either Texas Tech or Kansas State or both going to be Big 12 champs. End of an era last night. We'll get into that. Plus Tennessee beating Mississippi State. Plus Kentucky beating Ole Miss. College basketball in the next segment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong
hole. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka. It's made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Cowboy Carson?
It's so smooth you can drink it straight.
That's right, Mr. Big Chest. It's so smooth you can drink it straight. Doesn't mean you have to. It just means you can if you want to. It really is what I buy when I'm in the liquor store. Reason simple. It's quality vodka that's reasonably priced. You could spend more on a bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
I can even tell you which ones, but what is the point? If I've got you a quality vodka that's reasonably priced, why wouldn't you just buy the quality vodka that's reasonably priced? Stop being stupid. They got flavored vodkas as well. Apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry, grapefruit. And check this out. Brand new. New Amsterdam is now offering a gluten-free vodka.
Ooh, I need that, Gary. I need the gluten-free.
Why do you need the gluten-free?
It gives me headaches. The gluten gives me headaches.
Oh, God. You're struggling with gluten now, too?
I've had for years. I didn't realize it until I discovered gluten-free because I got repeated headaches. My grandmother said it might be the yeast or the weed in the products, which is gluten. And that's what it was.
Who am I to argue with your grandmother? I can't.
Argue with Grandma Carson,
right,
man.
Well, I got good news then. Gluten-free New Amsterdam
vodka
is now available.
Load, yeah.
Gluten-free New Amsterdam Vodka is now available, so if you're on a gluten-free diet, go get your bottle. New Amsterdam Vodka, pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins, join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the Grizzlies conversation with him, but right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Kansas went to Oklahoma last night needing a win to keep their very slim but still possible hopes alive of extending their streak of Big 12 titles to 15 consecutive years. And not only did they not get a win, they got their brains beat in. They lost 81-68, and the game wasn't even close to that. They were down by more than 20 in parts of that. They made a late little run to make the final score look respectable. But if you watched any of that game or even followed it, you know that Kansas was out of it, you know, within 5 minutes and never made a serious run at Oklahoma. So the loss dropped Kansas to 22-8 overall, 11-6 in the Big 12. And that is significant because Texas Tech is only 13-4. I mean, is 13-4 in the Big 12. They only have four league losses. Kansas State also 13-4. And you don't need a calculator to figure this out. Texas Tech and Kansas State only have one game each left. Kansas State's hosting Oklahoma. Texas Tech is at Iowa State. Even if both were to lose, they'd finish with just five league losses. Again, Kansas has six. So the streak came to an end officially last night. Kansas will not win at least a share of the Big 12 title for the 15 consecutive year. The streak is snapped at 14, which is, by the way, the longest in the history of college basketball. And I really do believe this. It's not hyperbole. I don't think it'll ever be broken by a Power 5 school again. Because the leagues are getting bigger, getting tougher, and I don't think anybody in the Power 5 will ever win 14 consecutive titles, conference titles, again. The only place I could maybe see it happening is in a scenario like what Memphis used to be under John Calipari in Conference USA, or what Gonzaga is right now under Mark Few in the WCC. Like, if you just completely overwhelm your league, I could see Gonzaga maybe doing it. I could that's really it at this point. Mm-hmm. I could see Gonzaga maybe doing it. But nobody in the Power 5 League is going to be able to get 14 consecutive Power Conference titles. So it's an incredible achievement. And I didn't get a lot of this, so I don't want to overstate it. But I did see a couple of comments in my Twitter mentions from Memphis fans, either straight out saying or implying that, oh, big coincidence. And by the way, this isn't something I just heard last night. It's something I've heard as Kansas has been struggling in recent weeks. Somebody even sent me a Facebook message about it. Like, is it a coincidence that the first year Kansas has got the Lawson brothers is the first year they can't win the Big 12? And I'd say, no, it's not a coincidence, but it's got nothing to do with the Lawson brothers. I mean, that's just silly. I mean, the truth is very simple. You don't even have to look hard for it. Kansas was ranked number one in the country when it was healthy, when it had Udoka Azubuike, when it had LeGerald Vick. Number one in the country with the Lawson brothers. And guess who their best player was? A Lawson brother, Diedrich. Number one in the country. Headed for a number one seed and projected to win the Big 12. And then their starting center suffered a hand injury. Lost for the season. And then LeGerald Vick took a personal leave of absence. They lost two starters. Probably two of their top four players. And there aren't many teams that can afford to lose two of their top four players and still compete for a conference championship. I mean, we're seeing it right now with Duke.
Yep.
Even though Duke has three first-round picks, even when Zion Williamson is wearing a
double XL golf shirt on the sideline. And yet Duke, you know, had to hold on last night in Cameron Indoor against a Wake Forest team that is awful, against a Wake Forest team that's about to be coachless. Duke is, since the moment Zion Williamson went down, Duke is 3-2 with a 71-70 win over Wake Forest that could have very easily been a loss. They were down double digits in the second half. So they could be, instead of 3-2, 2-3 with a loss to a bad Wake Forest team. And that's just when they lost one of their best players. Again, Kansas lost two of its best players. And so if you're trying to attach any blame or liability on Kansas's streak being snapped on the Lawson brothers, you're attaching it to the wrong place. You could talk to Bill Self or anybody on that staff. They'll tell you when they lost Udoka Azubuike, they became a significantly less team. And though Bill and LeGerald Vick have never been best friends, the truth is that basketball team was better with LeGerald Vick as well. And so I actually think it's kind of impressive that they were able to hold it together as well as they have, to even have a chance, even if it was a slim chance, to extend the streak to 15 years, given that, you know, all of the stuff that they had endured, both on the court and off the court. But either way, the streak has been snapped. And I will say this, and I'm guilty of this as well. Obviously, between Inside College Basketball on CBS Sports Network and the Ion College Basketball podcast that I host for CBS Sports, we spent a lot of time talking about Kansas and the Big 12 streak and all of that stuff. And I've consistently pointed out, like, it's going to be tough to extend it. Like, this is weeks ago, because they don't have Udoka Azubuike. They don't have LeGerald Vick. Like, they lost two starters. That is, you know, and they lost two starters in a league with other top 15 teams. You know, maybe Gonzaga could lose two starters and still win the West Coast Conference because they're just so much better than everybody else in the league. But Kansas is not that. You know, the Big 12 is good. Texas Tech is a legitimate Final Four contender. So we've spent so much time explaining Kansas's issues that I do think it's, by extension, discounted a little bit what Kansas State and Texas Tech have been able to do. But understand, Kansas State's had injury issues too. Their best player is Dean Wade. He's missed time in the Big 12 schedule. They've got another rotation player out right now, and yet they're still able to, with a win at home this weekend over Oklahoma, win at least a share of a Big 12 title. And Texas Tech.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like Chris Beard's presence in that conference is really screwed it up too a little bit for him, you know?
He's incredible.
He's a terrific coach. It frustrates me so much, given that he was going to be at UNLV. He was there for a press conference and then had to bail, but he's a terrific coach, Gary.
Well, you realize the only reason Chris Beard's not the coach at UNLV right now, don't
you? Yeah, there's a Memphis connection to it. Yeah, I mean, it's Tubby.
I mean, let me tell you what Chris Beard has done.
And Josh.
And then I'll walk you through it.
Yeah, go through it.
Chris Beard became the head coach at Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You go look at what Little Rock was in any season before Chris Beard got there.
Yeah.
And it is garbage, 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 garbage.
Yeah.
He was there in the 2015-16 season. So let's just go, because I don't want to spend too much time on this. Let's just go two seasons earlier. Mm. They ranked 219th at KenPom. Year after that, 235 at KenPom. Then Chris Beard takes over.
Yeah. Boom.
They finish 56th at KenPom. They jump 150 spots.
And they just kill it.
He goes to the NCAA tournament, beats Purdue in the NCAA tournament, and finishes 30-5. Then he leaves Little Rock, right?
Yeah.
They go right back to 245 at KenPom next year. Last year, 296 at KenPom. This year, 211 at KenPom. Literally, every year before him and every year after him, they're outside the top 200.
Yeah.
With him, they're inside the top 60. That's a basketball coach.
Yes.
All right?
He's awesome.
So then the guy takes UNLV.
Yeah. It's good. It's a better job.
And well, it's just like a big jump from Little Rock to UNLV.
Sure.
So he gets the UNLV job. And I don't know that he's happy there, because when he got there, I do know that
he saw what they had, and it sucked.
It was like he might not have any players.
Issues all over the place.
It was in a really
bad spot.
But, like, whatever. You got your money. You got a big payday. And, like, you know, you'll rebuild this thing. This is what you were hired to do.
Yep.
But then Georgia Tech can't hire anybody it's trying to hire. They try to hire Bryce Drew. They can't hire Bryce Drew. They try to hire this guy. They can't hire that guy. And finally, they're like, I guess we'll hire Josh Pastner. So they hire Josh Pastner.
Right.
Right? If like five different dudes would have taken the Georgia Tech job, Georgia Tech never hires Josh Pastner.
Yeah.
But they did hire Josh Pastner. So now Memphis is looking for a coach. And for reasons that will never make any sense to anybody,
Pam.
They decide to hire Tubby Smith.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
They go hire Tubby Smith.
It didn't make sense then. It didn't make sense 4 weeks later. But that is what happened.
So Kim from Texas Tech.
I could have given Memphis a list of 20 coaches they should have hired instead of Tubby Smith. And by the way, I'm not interested in like banging that drum anymore. We've been through it. It's just this is a Chris Beard story, and to tell the Chris Beard story, you have to tell this part of the story.
Sure.
So Memphis goes out and hires Tubby Smith, and now Texas Tech's looking for a coach. Yeah. And because Chris is from Texas, because his children live in Texas, and because he realized the UNLV thing is such a colossal mess.
Yep.
You know, his agent's Brett Just, who's somebody I'm close with. Mm-hmm. He's also J.B. Bickerstaff's agent. Mm-hmm. And Brett Just had worked like crazy to get Chris involved at UNLV. And he's like, dude, if I can get you involved at Texas Tech, are you really willing to walk away from UNLV after 10 days? And it's a struggle, but he was like, yes. And so they end up going and hiring Chris Beard at Texas Tech, and now he's built Texas Tech into an absolute monster. But unless Memphis hires Tubby Smith, Chris Beard is the head coach at UNLV right now, and Texas Tech is doing whatever. Who knows what it's doing? But because it went down that way, Chris Beard goes to the Elite Eight last season in his second year at Texas Tech and played Villanova as tight as anybody played Villanova in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Now check this out. You want to, again, underline what kind of coach this guy
is?
Elite Eight last season with, by the way, two sub-100 freshmen
some
in
dudes.
His starting lineup.
Yeah.
Two sub-100s. One of them,
so
Zaire, one of them goes on last year to be a top 20 pick. That's Zaire Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. Sub 100. He became, I believe, the first sub 100 one and done top 20 pick in the history of college basketball. Okay.
Yeah.
So they lose Zaire Smith and they lose four of the other top five scorers on the team as well. So Texas Tech, which ain't supposed to be nothing, probably worst job in the Big 12, goes to an Elite Eight and loses five of their top six players. And they don't enroll a recruiting class like Duke or Kentucky because they can't do that.
No.
So they lose five of their top six players. They're picked seventh in the preseason Big 12 poll.
Yeah.
They're about to win maybe an outright Big 12 title.
It's incredible.
They're ranked in the top 10 right now, and they are considered by anybody a legitimate national championship contender because they're ranked – 8th at KenPom right now with a 25-5 record. That is crazy.
This guy's a wizard.
And by the way, the other sub-100 freshman on his team last season, so one was Zaire Smith, the other was Jarrett Culver. Zaire Smith was a top 20 pick after one season.
Yeah.
Jarrett Culver is about to be a top 10 pick after two seasons. You cannot overstate what this guy has done in Lubbock, Texas. And I really do think when you start talking about best coaches in the country, you got to start a list with Mike Krzyzewski and, John Calipari is a real person and Roy Williams is a real person. Chris's resume quite doesn't match up. He's only in his fourth year as a Division I head coach. So I don't know where he ranks on that list. But I will tell you this. If you have a bad Power 5 job and you could only hire one guy and that you could hire somebody a lot of people can make Kentucky great. A lot of people can make North Carolina great.
Yeah.
Not many people can make Texas Tech great.
No.
So if you're trying to find somebody who could take a bad Power 5 job and make it great, the first guy's probably Tony Bennett. It's probably Tony Bennett because he did it at Washington State, and now he's got Virginia rolling. The second guy's probably Chris Beard, and you could argue the second guy's the first guy. You can't overstate what he's done down there. And so while we are explaining why Kansas didn't win a Big 12 title, I think it's important to also note this. It's because Bruce Weber did a nice job this season because Chris Beard – did an amazing job this season.
Story number two.
Tennessee continued its winning ways last night. Just really handled Mississippi State from start to finish. They went at 71-54. It was senior night inside Thompson Bowling Arena. And Admiral Schofield, one of those seniors, he finished with 18 points, 4 rebounds, an assist. He was 7 of 13 from the field. During the senior night festivity, ceremony, he teared up, had tears running. Because can you imagine?
Wow.
Coming to Tennessee under circumstances that he came to Tennessee and now standing here as a possible All-American for a team that's about to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, or at least could be a one seed in the NCAA tournament after winning its share of the SEC title last season. I mean, it's quite
incredible.
A career for him.
Really
he's gone from just a dude to a legitimate NBA prospect.
And Barnes didn't recruit him, right? He's pre-Barnes, I believe.
I believe he's pre-Barnes, yes. But he's been a terrific college player.
Yeah.
And so Tennessee wins for the 26th consecutive time in Thompson Bowling Arena. It ensures that they will finish the season undefeated in their home arena. And that 26-game home winning streak, it is now the nation's longest.
Story number three.
Meantime, Kentucky went down to Oxford and won 80-76. Fun game. Ole Miss was up by a point at the half, one possession game in the final minute, but ultimately, like, Kentucky just made too many plays, whether it was Tyler Hero or Keldon Johnson or P.J. Washington. They just had too many playmakers making plays. But that was a tricky spot for John Calipari because you're coming off a road game in Knoxville where you got your brains beat in, and now you got to go to Oxford, which ain't easy. You know, Kentucky was only about a five-point favorite at tip-off, and you've got a jam-packed pavilion, incredible coaching Kermit Davis, a team that has knocked off people this year. I know Ole Miss isn't ranked anymore, but Ole Miss is safely in the NCAA tournament field at this moment. And this is an Ole Miss team that has already beaten Baylor, which is probably going to the NCAA tournament, already beaten Auburn and Mississippi State, beat Auburn again. This is a Mississippi State team that's got some good wins on their resume. I mean, a Mississippi Ole Miss team that's got some good wins on its resume. So there's nothing easy about going to the pavilion on the road and getting a win over a quality team. But Kentucky was able to do it last night. So the Wildcats stay one game back of LSU and Tennessee as of this moment in the SEC standings. And Kentucky and Tennessee got one game left. LSU's got two starting tonight at Florida, but LSU's last one, it's the easiest of the bunch. They got a home game against Vanderbilt. So if LSU knocks this thing out tonight, they're going to be at least a co-conference champions, and it might put them in a position to be outright conference champions because Tennessee has to close at Auburn, and that won't be simple.
Story number four.
Duke played again last night, barely won. Zion Williamson was in street clothes. It was a 71-70 victory inside Cameron Indoor over Wake Forest. And so Zion Williamson never gets to play his quote-unquote final game in Cameron Indoor, which is kind of disappointing. The last image we'll ever have of him inside that building is his shoe exploding and him limping off the court. He never played another minute of college basketball in Durham, North Carolina. Now the question is whether he'll play this weekend in Chapel Hill or if he'll be the rare Duke player who leaves Duke without ever playing, you know, inside the Dean Smith Center. Mike Krzyzewski said last night that he'll be surprised if Zion plays this weekend, but will also be surprised if Zion doesn't play next week in the ACC tournament. So I guess that's encouraging. For whatever reason, there's still some people out there chirping about Zion's just going to shut it down. There's no indication that that's true whatsoever. They're being careful with him for all of the obvious reasons, but there is no indication whatsoever that he's really done playing college basketball. Obviously, this weekend, do whatever you want. Do whatever your parents want. Do whatever the doctors tell you. I will never object. Even if the doctors clear him, if he still wants to sit out, I'll never object to somebody worth that much money deciding to play it safe, maybe even safer than others would. But for selfish reasons, I'd love to see him on the court this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I was in studio last night with Wally Szczerbiak and Richard Jefferson, and they were both talking about, you know, Zion and this, and they understand all the risk of playing, but it's like, you never get this back. You know, he's going to play inside Staples Center a million times, no matter where he's in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to play inside FedEx Forum and you know these Madison Square Garden. You get that over and over and over and over again. But you never get a chance to play at the Dean Smith Center again, in the Duke North Carolina rivalry again. And so if you can go, don't you want to go just to have never missed out on that opportunity? And perhaps it's easy for them to say, sitting there, you know, worth $100 million each, you know, their NBA career is behind them, where Zion's got an entire future in front of him. But I would tell you, Saturday night it'd be an incredible sports moment if, you know, 30 minutes before tip-off, they announce Zion Williamson is available and he's going to be in Duke's starting lineup as the, you know, top five Blue Devils play the top five Tar Heels on national television. You want to try to set some college basketball television ratings numbers and let Zion Williamson return for that North Carolina game this weekend, and you might have a chance to do it. Either way, we should see him next week at the latest. That's good for Duke and good for college basketball. Jeff Calkins is up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.